This is File 54. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Priscilla Rudd Wolf from Lime Rock. She's going to talk about her parents, Hopwell Rudd and Joe Rudd, her father's summer camp, Indian Mountain, her relationship with it, and anything else that she wants to tell me about. Today's date is July 16th, 2013, and here we go. Priscilla, what is your full name?
Priscilla Rudd Wolf.
And where were you born?
Norwalk, Connecticut.
May I have your birth date?
May 29th, 1946.
And may I have your parents' names?
Roswell Hopkins Rudd and Josephine Bauman Rudd.
How do you spell the Bauman?
B-A-U-M-A-N. If for those who have been in town, her dad started Bauman, what became Bauman and Garrity.
Thank you. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have Roswell Rudd, an older brother, Bennett Rudd, another older brother, and Eve Rudd Webb, my sister, who's also older.
Is Webb spelled with one or two B's?
Two B's.
What is your educational background?
Well, I went to the local public schools until I was a sophomore in high school, and then I went away to a prep school called Walnut Hill School in Natick, Mass. And after that, I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and then I got a master's degree at Central Connecticut some years later.
And when you say local schools, you mean
Salisbury Central
and Regional 1?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you first about your father, mm-hmm. and then about your mother. With your dad, would you tell me about his teaching experience at Salisbury School, mm-hmm. and just in general, what the man did?
Well, both my parents were teachers. They started out at New Canaan Country Day School. From there, my dad did a few years at Hamilton College, where he was the hockey coach. And then they came back to Salisbury School. They had both grown up in the town here, and a job came up at Salisbury School. And my dad taught Latin and science, but mostly he was director of athletics. That was his real love. And he coached hockey, football, baseball, and, you know, did whatever the director of athletics in all these prep schools, whatever they do, which was quite a bit.
Who was the headmaster at that time? Do you remember?
George Langdon. And then a man named Reverend Edward Ward.
Ward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I had one of his children in my class.
Yeah, lovely guy. Yeah.
Can you give me the years that your father taught at Salisbury?
I believe they were there from around 1948 until they retired in 1970.
All right. Would you tell me about your mother at Salisbury School, mm-hmm. and what she taught?
Right. My mom was the only female teacher at Salisbury when we were there, and she also taught at Hotchkiss. She went back and forth. She was a pioneer in the remedial reading field, and she taught English, and she also tutored students in remedial reading, and at the same time, she was writing a textbook. So she was incredibly busy. She wrote the textbook at night after she'd done her prep work. She was a night owl. She would be up till 1 and 2 in the morning.
Good heavens.
Get up at 7 to teach again. So she was kind of driven about getting this textbook done. And it was very successful. back when it came out.
Is it still in print?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. It's Does called it... Word Attack.
I probably used it and didn't know it.
Yes.
Oh, marvelous.
I use it at Indian Mountain, yeah, which is really quite something for me.
That must be so special.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I remember her writing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And raising children.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, love to bottle the energy.
Yeah.
Now,
she's amazing.
You let me have an article on the camp, Rudd Camp. Tell me how that started.
Well, all I know about Rudd Camp is, I mean, I remember very well when it was a day camp, because that's when I was a child. But originally it was a boarding camp, and they were at New Canaan Country Day School during the school year, and then they came up here in the summers, and they brought many students from New Canaan with them who attended the camp, and they all bunked up on Belgo, the top of Belgo Hill, in a what became a beautiful home, but it originally was a camp. And then they'd get in the Marmon, my dad's old car, and they'd go down Belgo Road, and they'd go to what is known as Hollywood, and use that lakefront, because my dad was born in that house and grew up in that house, and so...
It makes sense.
It makes sense that his aunt and uncle let him use that lakefront.
Now that is, or was, the home of John Rudd.
Right.
And you told me that Emma Sands was John Rudd's mother.
Right.
What was the name of John Rudd's father?
Charles, I believe.
Okay, thank you. What kind of equipment did they have at this point? Did they have anything other than the Marmon?
Well, my dad had a whole fleet of sort of glued together wooden boats, because he was a great one to keep things floating long beyond their life. And every year he'd get these boats in the water with help. I remember Jack Fisher was a wonderful counselor who used to help him. So they had three or four sailboats, wooden sailboats, and they had canoes. And so the kids had swimming lessons, and then they'd go canoeing, and they'd have sailing lessons. But it was nothing like a camp of today with all the organized programs. It was very informal.
Did somebody actually teach them swimming?
I'm sure my dad did.
Okay. And what did your mother do? She did all sorts of things with this.
Well, she was the one who, you know, did the shopping and the cooking and, you know, organized all that.
Did she play the piano and do musical things?
She probably did. I don't really, you know, because I was so small at that time, I don't really remember. But I remember finding a ration book, notebook with all her, all the groceries she bought and the ration book that she was using, and because it was during the war still, when they had this boarding camp. So it was quite a feat
to carry it off
and organize the cooking. And my mom was really big on crafts at that point. I'm sure she did a lot of crafts with the kids. She knew a ton about wildflowers and...
Oh, lovely.
Gardening, because her mom had been a big gardener. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that she was not... She was busy, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh, yes. when did it become co-educational? Do you remember?
I don't.
Okay.
What I remember is when it was a day camp.
All boys. Day camp and all boys.
All boys, and that was on our lake property on Old CNE Road. My parents bought 4 acres of land on the lake, which was doable back in the 50s. And we had a house that had a big barn attached to it. And we lived in the little kind of ranch house part of it, in the summers, and my dad ran the camp, and on rainy days the kids would come into the barn and he'd play his drums. My dad was a great Dixieland jazz drummer, and that was the entertainment when it was raining.
Wonderful! Yes, John Fisher gives a memory of putting all of the kids someplace on a rainy day and music.
Always music. Hot on the drums.
Can you be a little more specific as to where on Belgo Road the camp was?
Well, I know that it became the a family called Schlesinger bought the camp, and they renovated it, and it became a house.
It's not the corner of Belgo and...
It's way up on the
top. Oh, it's way up on the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my memory of it.
All righty. Tell me the Tootsie Roll story.
Oh, well, just that my dad was such a character and had so much imagination that he didn't need any fancy equipment. The big, big thing for the kids was treasure hunts, and he would go down to, the Five and Dime and buy a few Tootsie Rolls and put them over on across the lake. And tell the kids that they, there was a big treasure. And to them, it was a big treasure. And they'd spend all afternoon on the lake, paddling around, sailing around, hunting for the candy, and having a ball. And at that time, there were very few people on Lakeville Lake. I mean, there were some summer people, but there were really no winter people at that time. We spent a few winters in our house on the lake, and we were the only people there.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So the lake was pretty much theirs in the summer, and people would go, there's Hop Rudd's camp. Nobody cared what they were doing or where they were. They could roam all over.
And it was allowable, and it was safe.
Yes. Yeah.
Very safe.
Yeah.
Before I move on to another subject, is there anything else about the camp that you'd like to add?
Well, other things that my dad would come up with were boxing matches. He had these old, huge boxing gloves. God knows where he got them. And he would put them on these little tiny kids. And they would... and they would, have these boxing matches, which... were hysterical because the kids could hardly lift the gloves up. And the other thing I think I remember they used to do was blindfold the kids and have blind man's bluff.
Man's bluff.
I don't know, just all these old games. And because the kids weren't spoiled at that point, they weren't used to computer games and the whole thing, they just
had a good time.
They had a great time. Oh, and the other thing about the camp, which was so sweet, was every day at 4 o'clock, every morning, they raised the American flag and saluted. And every afternoon at 4, when the camp was over, they brought the flag down. And Hop had a counselor named Larry Leitner who played taps every afternoon.
Oh, my.
And when Larry left, Hop used to take a snare drum out, and he'd roll the snares, the snare drum while the flag was lowered.
Oh, my.
And sometimes he'd just have a bunch of, little ankle-biter kids, really tiny kids. But it was just very sweet.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
And a formal ending to the day.
Yeah, to the day.
And I'm assuming that it started at 9? In the morning?
Yeah, probably 9 to 4.
9 to 4.
As I remember the day camp. And the parents would all be there picking their kids up and watching this. So it was...
That is a wonderful memory.
And my dad took it very seriously. It wasn't...
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And how long did the camp last?
Oh, gosh.
From... what year to...
Well, it probably became a day camp in the late 50s. And I think he had it right up until they retired from Salisbury, so probably 1970.
That's a good long time.
Yeah. There are so many people in town, I can think of a ton of people who went to that camp who remember it. Practically everybody my age, a guy, went to that camp.
Sure. It was the thing to do.
Yeah.
Rather than the Grove, which is the thing to do now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was to go to Hop Rod's camp.
Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
What a wonderful experience. I'm going to move on to your relationship with Indian Mountain School.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did you start, and what position did you have?
Well, I was lucky that they needed a tutor in 1991. I started as a part-time tutor, and then by 1992, I was really lucky because the director of the tutoring department decided to step down, and so I became the director at that point.
Who was the director?
The director was Liz Belter, who's now Liz Stanley, and she had been there many years.
Many years.
Yeah, yeah. And so I've, you know, right up until now, I've been the director of the tutoring, now called Academic Support. About 6 years ago, I took over the library as well. So
that's a challenge.
So I do both. I don't tutor as many students, obviously, because I'm doing the library.
Who was headmaster when you took over the library?
It was an interim guy named Tom Addix.
Oh, yes.
He was there just a year, and then Derry Dunham came. And so Derry was there, I believe, 14 years.
Mm-hmm. And who was the librarian from whom you took over?
Robin Ketchum.
Okay.
Had been there many years, and she retired.
Yeah, I remember Robin.
Yeah.
I remember Robin. Who is the headmaster at Indian Mountain now?
Mark Devi.
And can you tell me a little bit about the merger between what used to be Town Hill and Indian Mountain?
That had been talked about for many years and just never happened. And then during Derry's tenure, the board decided they really wanted to make it happen. It was going to make it a smoother transition for the fourth graders to come up to the fifth grade. Prior to that, they'd had to go through a whole application process.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So they wanted to make it a smoother transition, and that was one of the big reasons. And they had built that new building, and it just seemed time that the two campuses be united. And I don't remember the exact year, but I think it's been in effect for at least, 10 years now, probably.
No.
No?
It wasn't in effect when my husband died in 2005.
Okay.
So it's been in effect for less than 10 years,
okay.
I believe.
It's been in effect ever since Mark Devi got there.
Yes, and he came after Foster. He came, I gave the Macmillan Prize in 2006, and that was Derry's last year. So it would be from 2007.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's almost 10 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the makeup nationally of the pupils that you have?
Well, we probably have, any year, we probably have maybe 8 Mexican kids, and we probably have 15 kids from Asia. We're getting more kids from Japan, which is really exciting.
Yes, it
China.
Is.
China. We've always had kids from Korea, South Korea. And we've had a few kids from Jamaica. We have a very active admissions program, and they travel a lot now, which all these schools, all their
they all do
travel.
Now. Yeah.
So we're always trying to find kids from different countries.
Many from Europe?
Not as many as we'd like, probably.
Yeah.
We had a girl from Switzerland, I think, might be coming this year. So those are markets that mm-hmm. I'm trying to open up.
Good.
Yeah.
And what's your enrollment numbers?
It's around 260 at this point, with, say, 60 on the lower campus, 200 on the upper campus, and of those, about 120 day students, and then 70 boarders.
Okay. What haven't I covered that I should have with Indian Mountain?
With Indian Mountain.
Scholarships.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we started something called the Town Scholar, mm-hmm. and we're offering merit scholarships to kids from the local schools who qualify, and that's been interesting to get those kids. Mm-hmm. Indian Mountain does not have a huge endowment, but we really, really try to get as many kids as we can and offer them FA. We have mm-hmm. kids through programs in Harlem and different parts yep. of New York City who come. And, you know, great kids who just have had abysmal yep. educational yep. backgrounds. Yep.
And so you do yeah. try to yeah. get all sorts of children
yeah.
in.
As diverse as we can.
Do you do any civic activities? Do you have any time for civic activities?
Do I personally?
Do you personally?
Not as yet. Not as yet. No. I hope to do more when I retire. I, you know, do residential duty and mm-hmm. So I'm pretty busy.
Yes, you yeah. are. I remember doing Michael Brown and talking about yeah. dorm duty and yeah. all of the things that it involves.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that you would like to add about Indian Mountain, life in general, mm-hmm. whatever tickles your fancy?
I've
got one thing. You grew up in town. Could you describe Whitbeck's store, the drugstore?
Oh, I loved Whitbeck's store because it was a real soda fountain. And I always say it was Ann, Bam, Sam, and Walter. Those were the Whitbecks. Sam was the dad with a bald head, as I remember. Mm-hmm. A really nice guy. Bam, his son.
That was Nelson.
Okay. Anna, of course, the yeah. daughter. And Walt was another brother. And Audrey was Bam's wife. Mm-hmm. And they were just the greatest people. They once put up a sign, I remember, saying, Hop Rudd says, why would you shop in Hartford when you have Whitbecks?
Oh, I love it. I love
because
it.
Because Hop used to go down Christmas Eve and buy his Christmas presents at Whitbeck's. He'd buy us all powder and
mm-hmm. yeah,
Jean Nate bath water. And,
oh yeah,
all the little odds and ends you could get at Whitbeck's. But as a child, I would go into Whitbeck's and sit up on a stool, and Walt would bring me a stack of Archie comics.
Oh,
you know, 2 feet high.
Uh huh.
And I'd get a root beer float, and uh-huh. I would sit there and read Archie comics for hours, and they would let you do that.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Or an ice cream cone and Archie comics. And I just, and then my parents would be across the street because Le Bon's was called Shagroy.
It was Shagroy's then.
And it was in what is now, it was the Village Store, and now it's
Peter Beck's, I think.
Peter Beck's.
Yeah.
And, so they would grocery shop, and I would get to sit in Whitbeck's. Of course, it was a small town back then. Everybody knew everybody. Mm-hmm. My memory of my dad driving through town is that he just had his hand up the whole time because he'd just be waving.
Well, he knew everybody.
He knew everybody. He'd grown up here, and even though he'd gone to Hotchkiss and Yale and, you know, he had that kind of education, he never, ever lost touch with... He loved the local people. He was a big hunter and trapper, and He loved the Morris.
Oh, yes.
He was always in touch with, you know, everybody. The people who really built the town.
Yeah. And there was no exclusion.
No, not.
They were all the same.
I remember. Yeah. You could easily. There were very few middle, sort of upper middle class. Yeah. There were many wealthy people, and then there were sort of the working class.
The working. And there wasn't much middle.
No.
Not like there is now.
No.
Okay.
No.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.